61.
Did you vote? That's what I want to know, America. Hey, everybody. Kate Delaney hanging with you. In a jam-packed hour as we go through the election coast to coast, we can tell you that the Senate looks like it's staying Democratic and the House overwhelmingly will be Republican-controlled. Here's what happened. The Republicans win Senate seats in Alabama, Arizona, in Arkansas, Florida, Georgia, Idaho, Indiana, Iowa, Ohio, Oklahoma, Kentucky. That was big. Rand Paul came through in a big way. Kansas, Louisiana, Missouri, North Dakota, New Hampshire, South Carolina, Wisconsin. Then you move to and South Dakota. The Democrats, big wins in California, Connecticut, Delaware, Maryland, New York, West Virginia. A couple still too close to call in the very latest check before I cracked open the mic, Pennsylvania and Illinois. We talked about California a lot. The new governor of California, Jerry Brown, part two. So Meg Whitman spent a fortune and did not win that election. Not even really that close. Barbara Boxer looks like she's going to retain her seat, her Senate seat in California as well, despite the challenge by Carly Fiorina. Initially, it looked like it'd be a little bit closer, but ultimately, Boxer prevailed. Here's a big shocker for the Democrats. Russ Feingold out, totally out. He was wiped out in his race. Barney Frank in. There were initially some thoughts that he might go down, but not even close for Barney Frank. Now, the big race that a lot of people were eyeballing, and we talked about ad nauseum, we had many guests on to talk about Nevada because of the high unemployment, where you had 14%, in some cases even a tad higher in parts of Nevada. So a lot of frustration, a lot of anger in that state. Harry Reid, who's been a senator for 28 years, did he lose the job? So far, he is hanging on. He's got a little edge over Sharon Engel right now, although there's still more votes to be counted, more votes to be counted. So lots of reaction to come from what happened on the big stage, because these midterm elections, of course, are huge in many cases, and obviously the House turns over and the Senate barely hangs on unless something different happens. Probably 60 seats, the gain for the House overall, because, you know, there's not an official tally. There's some races that have been called, ones I mentioned, the states I mentioned, but there's definitely a big jump in the House, which would mean Nancy Pelosi is out as the House Speaker. Is John Boehner in, though, in that spot? Does the change begin? There is some question as to whether or not Boehner actually steps into that spot, and we'll talk about that, too, as well. Believe it or not, there were some other things happening in the world and in your own backyard besides the election. I promise in odds and ends we'll dip to that, too, because there's things that you want to know about. Sadly, a couple of things happened on the world stage, like some bombings in Baghdad, where unfortunately way too many people were killed. Also, there was a bomb that went off at the Swiss embassy in Athens. Lucky there, no injuries. And besides that, there was what happened with the dollar, or where it's going anyway, where it's headed, after some conversation with the Federal Reserve Chairman Ben Bernanke. And we'll talk about that, too. Plus, we've got We Can Count around the bend. Also coming up on the show, the thing that I was so concerned about heading into the election, besides the fact that we would probably see some power swings here, was how many people were going to vote. Would we see historically more people come out, shatter a record, let's say? Because if it's 40% of us that vote, could we possibly tip the scales at 50%? which I think was wishful thinking, more like 45%. I'll tell you that when I went to vote, it was in the afternoon. It was late in the afternoon, right before what I would have thought would be the dinner hour. It took about 45 minutes to vote. It was a pretty decent size line. And I thought, wow, this is good. Maybe this bodes well. Other places might be crowded. I talked to some people in Philadelphia who said in the morning, as they went in the morning rush hour crowd, it was jam-packed, two different people in two different polling places. Also talked to somebody in Illinois, same thing. But again, we were at the time voting where you might get a bigger crowd. What was it like during the day? Our Matt Johnson, of course, is based at the Mothership in Minneapolis. Proudly, he went to vote too. Matt, was it pretty quick when you went to your polling place?
Yeah, I went in the afternoon about 1:30, so it was just in and out for me. There weren't that many people there. I didn't have to wait in line or anything, so just voting at my own leisure.
There you go. I like that. Voting at my own leisure. And there's different ways to vote, too. Is there going to be more cries of voter fraud? Certainly early voting, we heard that, where in several places, whether it was Nevada or whether it was Florida, there were problems with people's names already printed on the ballot, basically, so to speak, that would come up, or something was checked all Democratic, and I'm sure even in the Republicans' favor, too. So some machines who had where they had problems. We know that the Justice Department ferreted out 400 different people, especially to Arizona, to pay attention to what was happening at some of the polling places. From all the conversations that I can gather as I was working the phones, talking to different people about what they saw when they went to vote, it seems as though it was an older crowd that voted. In fact, in some of the, you know, they do these exit polls, and the information sometimes is useful. In the early exit poll information, 62% of voters said, one, the economy was the most important issue facing the country. 56% said the country's on the wrong track. These are numbers that we've heard before. It's not a surprise, I don't think. When you have as many people as you have unemployed and how many unemployed on election day, you have to think that that would skew maybe even a little bit older. And it seems as though the makeup was an older demographic. About 9 in 10 voters said the state of the economy was not good. 90% of voters, and again, this is just information gathered as the exit polls went on, 90% of voters were also pessimistic about the nation's economic future. Ooh. And all of the early information is suggesting that the 2010 electorate was turning out to be much older and much more conservative than in previous elections. So what does that tell you? It says people on fixed incomes, they didn't get the Social Security didn't jump up at all. They didn't get the cost of living increases, concerned about the supplemental insurance they have to pay in light of now the changes, I think, with the health care insurance and what's happening there. Maybe that sent some heading to polling places, too. In fact, some of the information shows that 25% of the electorate was age 65 and over. 25%, you know, that's a huge jump from 2008. How big of a jump? Only 15% 65 and over. 15 to 25%, you do the math. What happened to the younger vote? Coming up next, we're going to talk about that. It's going to be an interesting conversation with Leslie Sorrell, a political strategist. Hang through.
Take a minute and hear what I'm about to tell you. You might have heard about Life Change Tea on a radio commercial or a TV commercial. And you did what many people do. You tuned out. I understand. Now the facts. When health fails, you will do just about anything for better health. So why wait? Read our testimonies of better health by drinking Life Change Tea at GetTheTea.com. And how much does missing work cost you when you're sick? Get ahead of the sick curve. Get the tea. Here's how to order. Log on to GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea, T-E-A.com. Or you can call one of our friendly operators, 928-308-0408. That's 928-308-0408. Our tea tastes great and will help you with your health, and you can even lose weight. So again, try us out at getthetea.com.
Hi, this is Dwayne Daly with Midas Resources, Precious Metals Brokers, and my phone number is 800-686-2237, extension 115. If you are sick and tired of being sick and tired, then perhaps it's time for a change. You have the opportunity to make a change in November by voting, and the opportunity to make a change in your financial security today by calling me, Dwayne Daly. Get the stability and peace of mind that you deserve with gold and silver, a form of wealth protection for 5,000 years. As the inflation pinch becomes tighter and the dollar continues to devalue, while stocks remain iffy at best, stop the bleeding with precious metals. Metals will let you retain your purchasing power, protect your assets, and stop inflation the day you get in. I have many different ways to accomplish this, from metals for possession to IRA rollovers, tax-free, and everything in between. So if you would like to turn your scrambled nest egg into a souffle, call me, Dwayne Daly, at 800-686-2237, extension 115. 800-686-2237, extension 115. If you are ready for a change, please call Dwayne Daly.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 5 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $209, and the Berkey guy will include three Sport Berkey water bottles and ship everything to you free of charge. That's right, three Sport Berkey water bottles and free shipping. An $87 value, yours free. Call the Berkey guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at goberkey.com. That's goberkey.com today.
Curious if where you went to vote, you saw pretty much an older demographic. As I said, heading into the break, 15% of 65 and older in 2008, jumping up to 25% is a big difference. So tell me what it was like where you went to vote. 800-259-5791. Again, let me shoot you those numbers. 800-259-5791. And still, as we are speaking here on America Tonight, lots of votes are being tabulated. There are a few that are too close to call. It hasn't been called in Nevada yet. That's a very big race. I just explained that at the top. All of you certainly know that. What's going to happen with Senator Harry Reid? Does he retain, or does Sharon Engel take the seat? Right now, it seems as though 40,000 votes or less separating the two at this point. So this one is going to go on for a while because there's still a lot of precincts to be counted. And you can bet there's some nervous moments probably for the longtime senator, and I'm certain for Sharon Engel as well, who got a big kick money-wise at the tail end of her race. And this was one that got nasty down to the wire, a lot of swinging back and forth. Not that this whole election, this midterm election, wasn't a lot of that very same thing. And, of course, there's always a snafu or two along the way. Like I mentioned, heading into Election Day, there were charges of fraud in different places. But I think one of the strangest things that we've seen so far, and it's still a lot more to come, I guarantee it, but the Democrats are pushing for a win with a dead candidate on the ballot. Did you hear about this story? Maybe you haven't. And here's the deal. The candidate is someone named Jenny Oropeza. And if she wins, if this dead woman who is on the ballot wins, it will have to launch, I'm sure, a special election. Here's what happened. She's still holding strong, the Democrat, and all the information that's coming in now says she's got about a 7-point lead or 7 percentage point lead over the Republican candidate. And she's the incumbent, 53 years old. She still has that, like I said, chance to catch this in the state Senate in the 28th district. Her death sadly for her family, she's 53 years old, happened on October 20th. So it was within 10 days of the election, her name stayed on the ballot. And people, she had a familiar name, was the incumbent, as I said. So a week after her death, Democrats had no choice. They sent out mailers to lots of different people who were potential voters. And it still said re-elect Oropeza. So the mailers had on them the Secretary of State and the Democratic Party General Counsel, so more familiar faces. The Republicans tried to bounce back. That's a tough one to handle, right? So they responded to the mailers. They filed a complaint that the pamphlets were too similar to official election documents and they were confusing voters. Boy, this seems to be the norm, doesn't it, in California? That's what happened there. So Oropeza's Republican opponent and the Republican chairman filed the complaint, and what now has happened is they've gotten blowback on this because some people say they're trying to take unfair advantage of her tragedy, of the tragedy of her death. So there was an underground movement suggesting that voting for her would result in now going and having to go another step, which means a special election, which means more money, which means it's costly to a state like California. And, you know, sadly, this is, it's an important office. It's a sad thing that happened with her, and the timing is just so strange. So if she wins the election, the governor will have 2 weeks to declare her seat empty. Then what they would do is they would schedule a special election within 3 to 4 months. Then that allows the Democrats a chance, think about this, to find a new, I'm being a little cynical, this seems like this could happen though, right? To find a new candidate to run for her seat. Now the 28th district, and this, like I said, is a big blunder. The 28th districts include parts of Los Angeles, Long Beach, and South Bay, and that's a very Democratic area. So the familiarity, maybe not really realizing her death or figuring push for the special election, it's almost a done deal, not officially yet, but it's definitely looking that way as she continues to pull away. And again, sadly, is the incumbent who died too close to the election to pull her name off the ballot. So in other words, they couldn't redo the ballot, probably will end up in a special election, give the Democrats there anyway a chance to regroup, but cost California more money to hold that special election. I mean, can the state afford any more of this? And the answer is, of course not. So big gains, I said at the top of the show, for Republicans. I mentioned a slew of states where the Republicans won Senate seats, but it's almost a certainty, in fact, I would call it this, that the Senate is absolutely, the power base is still retained by the Democrats. And again, the Democrats are probably going to retain control of the Senate, but they're losing control of the House, to be sure. At this point, I have for the Republicans in the House, with still votes to come in, 227, for the Democrats, 178. Now, for the Senate, the Democrats, right now as I see it, would be 50, and the Republicans, 46. With 30% of the precincts reporting, the incumbent in Nevada that we've been talking about now since we first jumped on, Harry Reid, has 51% of the vote. Sharon Engel, 44% of the vote. So 30% precincts reporting, that's what you got, you know, there. Some others that were interesting, of course, Jerry Brown edging out Meg Whitman, barring some crazy last-minute thing, but with 17% of the precincts reporting. You had Brown with 49%, Whitman with 46%, and all of this can switch. I mean, there were key Tea Party victories that were projected to be victories, and they turned out being So, you know, following script, I guess I'll say, Marco Rubio in Florida, he's a new senator. In Kentucky, Rand Paul, that was very, very big. In Pennsylvania, though, a Democratic stronghold, the Republican candidate Pat Toomey, was actually projected to knock off the Dem, Joe Sestak, who beat Arlen Specter in that crazy battle earlier in the year. But the brutal economy, of course, and what's going on with the government played into Toomey's favor. However, it's not the way it's looking. It's looking like Sestak grabs that spot. So how about that? Ooh. Tomas is listening to us in Michigan. Tomas, did you vote? I'm sure you did.
Hello, Kate.
Hello.
Well, it was pretty much a tidal wave over here in West Michigan. Almost every Republican won.
Right.
You know, you're going to bring somebody on talking about the gray wave. And I think the reason the young people didn't vote is because Obama's not cool anymore. You know, he came in looking very cool. You know, cool will get you in bed, but it's productivity that will keep you in there. And he didn't produce, you know. It's like a rookie, he's cool, comes in, but if he doesn't produce. And so that's what happened. The Democrats lost the House. But
yeah, you know what? There is something to that, Tomas, that there was that wave of change, the college campuses, the presidential election, and now it's like hope became no hope because a lot of the younger people are part of that giant unemployment rate. In fact, young people's unemployment is about 20%. That's twice the national average.
And, of course, black unemployment is even worse.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah.
So I think that was one thing. But on the other hand, Republicans, it does not look like they're going to take the Senate.
No.
And they, you know, they had a chance to do a lot more damage than they could have. So I think it's going to be up to, watching how the Democrats, especially their leadership, respond. Because if these Democrats are still in there, are afraid of losing their seats, and start voting Republican, that's one thing. If Obama is on the offensive, that's another.
Yeah, absolutely. What a note to end on. Tomas, thanks for the call. So the gray vote was out. What happened to the young vote? Suddenly the lack of hope for many of the 18 to 29-year-olds. Meet you on the flip side with a little odds and ends.
To ship a vehicle safely from point A to point B, which company should you choose? Easy. Stateway Auto Transport. Why trust Patriot-owned Stateway Auto Transport? Many reasons. Stateway is not just a broker, but a fully licensed and bonded carrier with its own fleet of trucks and $1 million of cargo coverage insurance. With Stateway, your vehicle rides safely on a direct route on the same truck, and your shipment is always door-to-door with no hidden fees, and every shipment includes free online vehicle tracking. Simply put, Stateway Auto Transport is the best, most efficient, quickest, and friendliest worldwide shipper in the business. To receive a free quote from a live customer service representative, call 877-848-7474 or see us online at statewayauto.com. That's statewayauto.com or call 877-848-7474. Ask about discounts for seniors, military, and all GCN listeners. Stateway Auto Transport, your one-stop shop for worldwide vehicle transport.
On air, online, and on demand, we are the GCN Radio Network.
Are you concerned about dropping or losing your cell phone? Are you tired of dealing with cell phone clips or holsters? Then this message is for you. Introducing Clip Hanger, the best and most affordable cell phone holder on the market, made to keep your phone secure and accessible. Clip Hanger works with all cell phones, including the iPhone, Droid, BlackBerry, and even iPods. When attached to a pant loop, Clip Hanger won't poke when you sit down. And for women, Clip Hanger easily attaches to any purse strap. Carry a phone in your pocket? Simply use one finger to pull it out with Clip Hanger. Clip Hanger is thin and simple, has a one-year warranty against breakage, and prices start at only $10.95. With your clip hanger purchase, we'll also send you the auto hook for your car and ship everything to you absolutely free. See the amazing clip hanger and the clip hanger light with its built-in LED flashlight at myphoneclip.com. To order, call 801-719-2680. That's 801-719-2680. Or visit myphoneclip.com to get your clip hanger today.
In a coming-apart world, you need something to keep it tied together. That something is Atwood Rope, the highest quality rope made in the USA from exotic braids for military, rescue, arborists, shipyards, tow line, or boating. Quality rope at affordable prices you and your customers can depend on. Find a dealer or shop online at atwoodrope.net. Enter promo code RADIO to receive 100 feet of 550 paracord free with purchase. Atwood Rope, working to keep the world tied together.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
After my second heart attack, I knew I needed more help than I had. That's when Extendivite came into my life. Made from garlic, cayenne, and five other herbs, I started to feel better in a very short time. My name's Don Wiskin, and I'm here because of Extendivite.
Extendivite gave me more energy than I've had in years. I am the only one in my house right now that's not sick from colds or flus. And I owe that all to Extendivite. My name is Rick, and I'm healthy because of Extendivite. To get your Extendivite, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit the website at heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite. In the so-called free land, somebody.
That's how some of the candidates are probably feeling after a long, long battle. Because some people have been campaigning for over a year, really, and at least 6 months. And some a little bit less than that, but usually it's at least 6 months in, and depending on the primaries and where they stood at that point and whatnot. Here's how everything stands before we get into odds and ends, because we don't want to neglect some of the other things that happened. Believe it or not, it's not just about the election, although a big chunk of it is about the election. And as I said, you got to tell me what it was like. Was it mostly gray voting in your area? What happened to the younger demographic, all the excitement? Their balloon or their bubble was popped, I guess. 18 to 29 would be the younger demographic. Where were they? Missing in action for the most part, I guess, during the day. Can't wait to see all the demographics coming out once everything's wrapped up. But right now it's too early to tell whether we hit that 45% of people voting in the U.S. or not, or was it just kind of the traditional 40%. I mentioned that where I was, and I checked in some other places throughout the country, there were big crowds, but I was checking at times when people would be trying to go and vote and then get to work or come back from work or whatever it might be. So 800-259-5791, if you have a story to tell, please tell it, share it with us. The House, the seats that were needed for Republican control, 5, the seats won, 34. For Senate, the seats needed for Republican control were 6. The seats won 4. So pretty much this is playing out the way many would have predicted it, although some seats were lost that weren't predicted and vice versa. House goes to the Republicans. Senate stays with the Democrats. Nancy Pelosi would be out as House Speaker. Is John Boehner going to be in? It's looking that way, although there's some rumors that that might not necessarily just be a shoo-in. So here's the deal. And I've mentioned some of the big ones already. The fact that in California, it played out that Boxer, pretty much her win, dashed the Republican takeover hopes for the Senate. That was one of the key seats. And also the fact that Jerry, now this is on the governor's side, but Jerry Brown gets to do it again, and the Democrats keep that Senate majority. They keep the Senate majority while they lose it in the House. Now, there were other measures also on the ballot, too, and we'll get to those. Don't worry. We'll cover a whole bunch of this. I'm just going to hit a few highlights for you. I said that Russ Feingold of Wisconsin was out. The veteran Democratic senator, he wasn't the only one that might have been a surprise to some on the Democratic side. Blanche Lincoln, Arkansas, lost her reelection bid as well. Joe Manchin, this was big for the Democrats. The West Virginia governor was able to hold off the millionaire Republican challenger, so that kept a Democrat in the seat that was held for half a century by, of course, the late Robert Byrd. And there were some other things that happened, too, along the way in both chambers worth mentioning. In Delaware, there was so much talk about Christine O'Donnell, and she didn't come close. It went to Chris Coons, the Democrat. Rand Paul of Kentucky, it looked like he might have had a little bit of a challenge from Jack Conway, but Rand Paul takes that easily in Kentucky. Marco Rubio, who I already mentioned from Florida, they both win, and they really rock, actually, the Republican establishment because they routed favorites in party primaries. They weren't the choice of the Republican Party in their neck of the woods, but they won. And they would be Tea Party champs because the Tea Party backed both Rubio heavily and Rand Paul as well. And this would also shout out, I think, some libertarian-leaning Republicans, because that's what I would certainly call Rand Paul, and I would probably say the same of Rubio as well. And we know what that means. That means pressing for the lower taxes, the less spending, and, of course, my favorite, which is what I say, too, less government, smaller government. That would be what they would push for, absolutely. In Utah, the Tea Party-backed Mike Lee won easily after grabbing the Republican nomination from Bob Bennett. That was the big surprise back in March. So some of the upstart surprise candidates have now come full circle. Indiana voters sent Republican Dan Coats back to the chamber after 12 years because he was gone for 12 years. He spent a decade in the Senate before he stepped down in 98. He defeated the Democrat Brad Ellsworth, and of course that seat is another one that's was left open by the Democrat Evan Boswell. All right, let's jump to a couple of other things before we get too far off the track. As much as there are election results and whatnot still coming in, we're going to jump back to that too, but I don't want to ignore some of the other things that have happened on the day, like I said, in your backyard and across the world, certainly. And besides, it's hard to get away from it, isn't it? Besides counting the vote, boy, that could just be all about We Can Count, right? We could just focus on that for the entire We Can Count. Here's something that came out that I think was awful news about Baghdad and some bombs. I gave you the headline, but they're saying at least 76 people dead after these bombs went off across Baghdad. And I mean, here's the thing. To me, you think of the time invested in Iraq, how many of our troops, you know, gallantly served in what turned out to be a horrific situation for many because of the IDs and everything they had to deal with, the not knowing when they approached kids what was going to happen there. I mean, I don't have to paint the picture for you. We've done it a million times. So it pains me when there's violence in Iraq, especially on a bigger scale. And this is why, because what happened is they went off across the capital in a lot of different places. So the idea was to kill as many people as possible, restaurants, coffee shops, and whatnot. So right now we're almost at 78 for the death toll, and this is just the first few hours after the blast went off, and that number could still keep rising because they're combing through the debris right now. And how this was done, tricky, 10 cars exploded with the bombs inside them. There was 4 roadside bombs, 2 sticky bombs, and it happened in 10 different neighborhoods. So besides the people who were flat out killed, about 300 people were hurt as well. And all the attacks, and see, this was the other thing, when we so-called started pull out of Iraq, what was going to happen with the Sunnis and the Shiites and the Kurds, well, all the attacks were in Shiite neighborhoods, it sounds like, from the initial reports anyway. So now the question becomes, okay, so what is this violence, is this sectarian violence, is this flat out just trying to create confusion? I mean, what's the buzz on the street? And the buzz is that, it's calling into question whether or not the Iraqi security forces can protect the capital. Because this is just 2 days after you had a guy in Baghdad who held a Christian congregation hostage in a siege that basically ended with 58 people killed. And I'll say it again, we invested not just our blood, our human capital, the money, whatever, but also remember some of the best and the brightest when it came to security and whatnot spent many, many years training the forces in Iraq. So now you've got this Prime Minister, Nouri al-Maliki, who's ordering the detention of the police commander because they're wondering what happened there. Was there something else going on here? Because what you had was the people who were these assailants that planted the bombs, they were disguised as guards working for a private security firm, and they carried some fake IDs. So how did they manage to get as far into, like the night before, get into the church as far as they did on the Christian thing, and then also being able to plant the bombs in the cars? And just a sad situation, I think, in that country. And because we invested, like I said, so much capital into it, we should be concerned as to what's going on now, because ultimately we still have a foothold there. We still have dividends, I guess, if you will, to be paid off. That sounds a little weird, but we do. And nobody wants to see that, I believe. Not really, right? What happens on election day when it comes to the rest of the world? So besides talking about elections here, what else is going on? Well, of course, business as usual. What happened on the stock market? A bounce in the stock market. The Dow was up 64 points, the NASDAQ 28, and the S&P almost 10 points. So is it because there was some kind of something that was announced? Was it the happiness of Election Day, and how will the election affect the stock market? Well, what really happened and the reason it rose is because investors moved into what they call riskier assets following a drop in the dollar. So then that would jack up the Dow to nearly its highest point in the year, and then it sort of came back a little bit. Coming up on the flip side, we can count.
Your vehicle will have more horsepower.
30% or more.
Your vehicle will run smoother, quieter, and more efficiently.
Like a high-performance sports car.
And you will save money on gas.
When you use Edge.
When you want to save at the pump and help clear up our skies, get EDGE, Environmental Device Gas Efficiency. This message started with bold claims.
And we can back up every one.
Go to QuickEdge.com to learn more now.
Spelled KWIKEDGE.com.
Edge is a revolutionary, easy, and inexpensive new energy delivery system that can lower auto emissions within minutes. Many drivers who use Edge have experienced an increase in their vehicle's fuel economy.
And it lasts for 3 years.
Make a difference in the world environment starting with your vehicle and get an unconditional money-back guarantee when you buy the Edge at QuickEdge.com or call 888-203-5278. That's 888-203-5278. Or go to KWIKEDGE.com.
Another fine quality product from Energetic Interactions.
You may not be thinking of lead and brass as precious metal investments. And you may not be thinking about ammo when we say battery station. But you should, because Battery Station has a large inventory of the most popular calibers. Just go to BatteryStation.com and click on ammunition. There, you'll see where Second Amendment patriots invest in precious metals for .380, 9mm, 40 cal, 45 ACP, 38 Special, 357 Magnum, 223, 30-06, 308, and more. Be sure to look for the October GCM specials in blue boxes, too, at BatteryStation.com. We shoot what we sell, and all Battery Station ammo is all factory. No reloads. You'll enjoy great customer service, great prices, and fast shipping. Plus, all orders over $30 will receive a free patriotic flag. So invest in gold and silver. But don't forget about investing in lead and brass, too, at BatteryStation.com. Call 417-257-7799 or go to BatteryStation.com today.
If you owe money to the IRS, you can't make the problem go away by yourself. But with the help of Dan Pilla, you can get your problem solved once and for all.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. For 30 years, I've helped thousands of people solve their tax debt problem, and I can help you solve yours, too. We take a very simple but proven three-step approach to solving your problem. First, we stabilize IRS collection actions so you don't have to worry about the IRS seizing your bank account or paycheck. Next, we build a comprehensive plan to get your tax debt reduced to the fullest extent possible, sometimes even completely eliminated. And finally, we work with you every step of the way to get your problem solved once and for all. Call us for a free consultation. Call 1-800-346-6829. We'll work together to get your problem solved guaranteed.
Dan Pilla has been protecting taxpayers from the IRS for 3 decades, and he can help you too. Call us today at 800-346-6829. That's 800-34-NO-TAX.
For another edition of Weekend Counts. Well, it is Election Day, and of course it's all about the numbers, so we will jump to some election numbers in just a minute. But before we do that, let's give you one other one that I thought was actually pretty interesting, and it has to do with this ship that got under a bridge by just a foot. I'm fascinated by bridges. I love bridges. And maybe it's because I kind of grew up in an area where there were a lot of bridges. Even if you know, if you ever go to New York, remember there are five bridges, five spans that you'll see, like the Verrazano, the George Washington Bridge. And if you come from another area, it is pretty cool to go over some of those spans, right? And I'm also fascinated by, like when you're in Florida, like Tampa, the Sky Bridge is just, it's amazing. It's just absolutely stunning. It's absolutely beautiful. Well, let's stick with Florida for a second. A pretty tight squeeze for a cruise ship sailing from Europe to the home port in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. I happen to see a picture of this. The Royal Caribbean's Allure of the Seas passing under the Denmark Storebelt Bridge with about a foot to spare. The people all got up on the deck. I don't know if I would have been on the deck. And they were applauding. And the captain called it the best day of excitement that he's ever seen in a very long time. I'm like, what? Did he know he was going to clear it or not? What if they had slapped right into it? So check this out. The normal height of the ship from the water level to the top is about 73 meters or 240 feet. But they couldn't be higher than 65 meters, 213, in order to safely go under the bridge. So to make that happen, the crew had to lower the ship's retractable twin smokestacks and adjust the ballast so the ship wouldn't be too light and sit too high in the water, and then they have to boost their speed to be able to get through it. And they made it. I mean, they made it by the hair of their chinny chin chin. How crazy is that? It's a big deal when you name a ship, and they have the official naming ceremony, they say, on November 28th. They should call it, like, Just By a Foot, something like that. There's got to be a good name in there somewhere. I don't think they'll go in that direction. But you know what I'm saying. I'm thinking that's what they want to do. All right, we got to jump to the elections here for a second, and this is numbers. We know this. I've already mentioned this, that the Republicans have now officially 230 seats in the House. They need just 218 for the majority of the Democrats, 178. For the Senate, the Democrats needed 51. They got it, so they got 51. The Republicans, 46. There's still some things to officially happen. This just happened moments ago. Senator Harry Reid retains his seat with 50% to Sharron Engel, who gave it a good ride on the Republican side of things, 45%. So that becomes official again. I'll call it official. The 28-year senator from Nevada narrowly hangs on to his position as the senator of Nevada. Let's go to Al listening to us in Canada. Hello, Al.
Hi, Kate. I'd like to congratulate all the Americans who voted Republican and prevented President Obama and the Democrats from turning America into Canada South. You know, okay, I'll give you an example of what would happen if Canada, if the USA became like Canada. You would have 1,300 senators in your Senate. If you, this is how overgoverned we are. Obama seems to respect Canada, doesn't he?
Yes.
He's a fan of Canada. If you guys adopted our left-wing style of government that we're trying to change up here, you would have almost you would have over 1,200 senators. We've got 124 senators, and we have one-tenth of the population. The population of America is around 305 million, right?
Yes.
And the population of Canada is 33 million. So almost 10 times as many people. So you would have over 1,200 senators, and you would have almost 3,500 congressmen in the House of Representatives, because we have 320, in our lower house we have 320. So 10 times 320, you would have 3,200, 3,300. That is way too much government, isn't it?
I mean, of course.
We have way too much government up here. And also, did Christine O'Donnell get beat by a man?
Yes, Chris Coons, yeah.
And Christine Angle got beat by a man. I thought the Democrats were wanted more women in government. You know, would you say the Democrats have a reputation of being more pro-woman than Republicans?
That's a tough question. No. I mean, maybe in the past I would say that, but I think the Republicans, and just like the Democrats, Al, are opportunists, and if the right woman comes along, they're gonna push for her to get elected. Yeah. That's what I think.
You know, it's really interesting. You know, in the past, I guess the Democrats were more pro-feminist, more.
I would say in the past, yes.
Yeah, yeah, and also, does that mean that is there going to be a tightening up on immigration? Do you think the House can tighten up the immigration?
Remember, you got the Senate and the House that you have to deal with, and you've got a Democratic president. I think that's a hot potato that's going to be tossed around, and they're going to try to come up with something maybe eventually. But remember, what's lurking around the corner, 2012.
Yeah, and I guess John Stewart and Stephen Colbert are not as powerful as they thought they were. I think they thought that, you know, that rally on Saturday to destroy Sean Hannity or whatever the hell it was called. or the rally. I call it the
to
rally
restore to, sanity. Yes.
I thought it was the rally to destroy Sean Hannity and other evil right wingers. You know, all of us evil right wingers. But you know, and also, Kate, I saw a huge a Baptist church get blown to smithereens in Dallas. Did you see that?
Oh yeah, it was four different places that went up, but it was part of that Baptist church. Yeah, it imploded.
That wasn't
they imploded
a terrorist attack. That wasn't the Muslims didn't
blow
it up.
No. That was intentional. The rebuilding.
Oh, I see. Well, and what are they going to put on the vacant lot? A mosque?
No, they're putting the Baptist church. Silly.
Yeah. No, I just wanted. All I saw was this huge. They said a huge Baptist church in Dallas was blown to smithereens. That's all I saw. Like I'm visually impaired, so I got to sit so damn close to the screen.
There wasn't a terrorist act, no.
And also one other stat. Did you hear that stat that the most popular name for newborn babies in Great Britain is Mohammed?
I did.
Yeah, I don't know. This is going to sound politically incorrect, but I think we've got we have more to worry about than just Mexicans.
But I'm pumped. You are politically incorrect. Thanks, Al. Yeah, they did say that Muhammad was a popular name. You know, there are a lot of Muslim people that live in England, so it wasn't such a shocker to me, I guess, when I heard that. And there wasn't much to that other than the fact that the people that were Muslim, which was what the study attributed to, they named their kids Muhammad, obviously. Let's go to Sam in Montreal. Hello, Sam.
How you doing?
How are you?
What do I always say?
Simply fantastic.
Yeah, no, simply fantastic, out of this world. And I was watching Returns on NBC, and Brian Williams was talking to the news anchor from Telemundo. And the news anchor from Telemundo was saying, if Harry Reid gets elected, he better learn how to say muchas gracias. Because he thinks that, okay, this was earlier tonight, and you just told me that Harry Reid looks like he's going to be declared the winner. Because of him, there was a big Hispanic vote came out to support him, or just in general that Hispanics all came out to vote. And I found that kind of ironic because, you know, talking about immigration and such, I thought maybe it'd be a lot of protest votes by Hispanics and other immigrants who would vote, you know, if they found that like a candidate was anti-immigration, they'd vote against him or her. So, you know,
not Harry Reid, because remember, he's the Democrat, and maybe it's gotten shelved, but Sharon Engel was about booting immigrants out.
And she was, in a way, a bit anti-Canada, too.
Right. So that probably cost her. That's why I was saying muchas gracias, because of Harry Reid's policies versus her. Sam, I'm sorry we're up against it. Thanks for the call, buddy. It'll be interesting to see when the breakdown happens what the actual percentage of voters was, but we do know that there was a big jump in 65 and over from 15% in 2008 to 25%, at least it shows by the exit polls this time around. Very interesting. Send me your thoughts, americatonight.net.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story, and I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.